Right, good morning. It's good to see everyone. Our learning this morning will be Le'ila Nishmas Bala Basur Tzvi, Reb Hank's mother, whose yard site is today, and our learning should be Le'ila for her neshama. The pasuk tells us in Parashat Shemois when HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially charged Moshe Rabbeinu with taking Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu initially hesitates. And he says, Klal Yisrael is going to ask me, what is your name? What am I supposed to tell them? That my name is Ekeyeh Asher Ekeyeh. So the Pardes Yosef already asks, what, Moshe Rabbeinu was unfamiliar with Hashem's name up until this point? So he explains, based on a comment of the Rabbeinu Bechai that we're familiar with, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Kavad Peh Kavad Lashon. Moshe Rabbeinu had a speech impediment, and he was unable to say the letter Dalet and the letter Lamed. So he couldn't say Elohim, he couldn't say the Shem Adnos. So he didn't know how to refer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Ribbono Shel Olam gave him a name for this occasion, Ekeyeh Asher Ekeyeh. However, in the following pasuk, the pasuk tells us, Vayomer Oid Elohim El Moshe, Koysoy Maro B'nei Yisrael, Hashem Elohim Avoseichem, there is the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Tell Kaiso that the Shem Havaya is sending you to them. Zeh Shemi Li Olam V'Zeh Zechri L'Dor Dor. This is my name forever. This is the way I should be referred to eternally. And the Gemara comments in Maseches Kiddushin on Daf Ayin Vav that Zeh Shemi V'Zeh Zechri Lo Kishani Nichtav Ani Nikre. Kadosh Baruch Hu's name is written one way, the Shem Havaya Yud Kei Vav Kei, and it's pronounced a different way. We pronounce it with the Shem Adnus. But both of these are the primary name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So since Kadosh Baruch Hu establishes his primary name, Zeh Shemi Le'olam V'Zeh Zechri L'Dor Dor, in Parashat Shemois, I thought it was appropriate to perhaps discuss the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the halachas that apply to them, erasing them, and how one is supposed to treat the names of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the pasuk tells us in Parashas Re'eh, it's over here, Ois Aleph, that ideally one is supposed to destroy the names of Avodah Zarah. V'ibadetem es shema min hamakom hahu. When we conquer Eretz Yisrael and there'll be names of Avodah Zarah, we're supposed to destroy them. But the pasuk, the following pasuk states, Le'sasun kein la'ashem aleikechem. You should not do so when it comes to the names of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Gemara comments in Maseches Makos and Daf Chav Beis, from here is an azhara, not to destroy the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara tells us in Maseches Shavuos and Daf Lamed Hei that there are shiva shemos she'enam nimchakim. There are seven names of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Of course, the primary shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shem Havaya, the Shem Adnos. But there are secondary names of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and there are shiva shemos, seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are enam nimchakim. And the Rambam quotes this at the beginning of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, the sixth parak of Yisodei HaTorah, Kol HaMa'abed Es Hashem Min HaShemos HaKadosh MaTaharim Shenikra Bahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Loikim Min HaTorah. If you do so, you get Malkus because of this pasuk, Le'sasim Ken LaHashem Elokeichem V'Shiva Shemos Heim. And there's the seven Shemos which we are generally familiar with. There's a second girsa in the Rambam that includes Ekeyeh Asher Ekeyeh, which is a machloikas harishayim, actually, if that's three shema, if it's three word shame, ekeyeh, asher ekeyeh is the shame, or ekeyeh alone is one of the shema, shenam chokim. But either way, the Rambam quotes the Gemara more or less that it's an Easter in the Torah to destroy or to erase one of the shiva shemos, she'enam nimchokim. The Ramah adds in Yeridei and Hilchos Sefer Torah that perhaps there's another name, an additional name, which is the name of Shalom. Because the pasuk says in Parsha in Sefer Shoftim, "Vayikra lo Hashem Shalom," Kadosh Baruch Hu is sometimes called Shalom, and therefore Shalom perhaps is one of the Shemos as well. She'enam nimchakim. The Shach already says we don't have this minig to treat Shalom as a Shem Kodesh. However, the Pischei Tshuva and the Shach, the Pischei Tshuva and Rama Yisrael both say it depends on the context. Rama Yisrael says you shouldn't write Shalom independently. That might refer to the Ribbono Shalom. If you write Shalom Uvracha, peace and blessing, so then it's obvious you're not referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to write Shalom independently, Rav Moshe was Nizhar, but either way, many Paiskim assume that we pass in Shalom is not one of the Shiva Shemos She'enam Nimchakim. What if you say one of the Shiva Shemos in a Lashon Laz, in English? So the Shach writes, again in Hilchos Sefer Torah, about Hashem B'Lashon HaKadosh Hu Shem, if it's in Lashon HaKadosh it's a Shem, but B'Lashon Chol Ein HaShem Klal. If it's like what he describes as Gott in German, or Bug, I guess, in Polish, whatever. There are other, if we say God in English, that would not be considered to be one of the Shema She'enam Nimchakim. It doesn't have the same status, and one would be allowed to erase it. Nonetheless, the Mishnah Berurah says that you should not be noiged a minig bizoyon. And therefore, you should not mention it in a restroom, in a place of filth, in a bathhouse. One should refrain from mentioning these other descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is translated into another language. God should not be mentioned in a bathroom. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch also says you shouldn't mention it gratuitously, like the same way we don't mention the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu gratuitously, so too we shouldn't say God gratuitously. I don't know if that follows necessarily from the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says not to treat it with a minig of bizayon, but many felt that the Shach, when he says it doesn't have the name of a status of the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu at all, that it's you can mention it whenever you want and you can bring it into the bathroom. That's the chumrah of the Mishnah Berurah. Now to do that, that's perhaps why some say oh gosh, as opposed to oh God. They quote the name of the Reb Chaim Oizer. It says in the Tshuvas Achiyeza that if you want to make sure that it should not acquire the status of one of the Shemos, if you do G-D, so already at that point you don't have to be concerned. The dash itself is somewhat controversial. Avnei Nezer, Sagat Shavu Rebbe, writes that the dash doesn't do anything. We all know what's supposed to be there. It's an O or a dash. And if you're just separating, like if you would write one of the Shemos, one of the true Shemos, Shein of Nimchokim, Keo, or the Shem Havaya, and you put a dash in between, the Avnei Nezer feels that that does not relieve it of its status of one of the Shemos, Shein of Nimchokim. It wouldn't help. Others disagree. Many are not sure about it. But either way, when it comes to this, which is already a chumra to begin with, to write to erase a shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a different language, if you make the dash in between, already that would be enough. Okay? So these are the seven shem of shem nimchakim. They cannot be destroyed or certainly treated with a minig of bizayon, and therefore cannot be thrown into the garbage. They would have to be put into geniza, into what we call Shemos. What if, though, you have the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, one of these Shiva Shemos, but it appears as part of a larger word, like the name Daniel, or the name Shmuel, or Yishmael? So the Tashbetz has a tshuva about this, where he discusses, what about those names of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that appear in the Chumash, but they don't refer to Hashem, like Elohim Acherim? So the Tashbetz, at the end of the period of the Rishonim, was asked, do we have to treat that with Kedushas Hashem? So the Tashbetz says, no! Da she'ein Hashem miskadesh ala imke niskaven ha'kais of the kadshoi. It's only if you have in mind to make it holy. Aval kazo sheloi b'kavonis kedusha ein ha'kadosh. If you write it without kavana to the Ribbono shel Olam, it's not kadosh. V'kol she'kein shemos b'nei Adam. Certainly, therefore, the names of people like Immanuel or Eliyahu, even though these might contain shemos of the Ribbono shel Olam within them, that's a different name. It's not the shem kadosh, and therefore that would be it would be allowed. The Chassam Sofer has a tshuva, maybe Beit El, like in Eretz Yisrael, where it's a separate word. If it's a separate word, meaning it's two words, that you have, let's say, Daniel, is one word. So the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is included within it, but it's primarily a Shem Chol. But over here, you have two, it's two separate words. So there, the Chassam Sofer has a tzad, maybe there's room to be machmer, but even there, most are mekel, that we assume that when a person has two names, that's considered to be one name with two parts. Let's say a person's name is Avram Yitzchak. So his name is not Avram plus Yitzchak. There's no get to many areas of halacha. His name is Avram Yitzchak. That's why on a get or an exuba, the name always has to be written on one line, just like the Gemara says in Chulin, Kedar la'omer, even though it's two parts, has to be written on one line. So too, if a person says in Hilchos Gittin, if a person has a name with two parts, has to be written on one line in the get, just like in the Sefer Torah, because it has the status of one name. Or a person is, afraid of marrying Kala Kachamaisa with the same name, a daughter-in-law with the same name as the Shviger. So if one's name is Rachel and one's name is Sarah Rachel or Rachel Sarah, those are two different names. Since it has two parts, it's considered to be a new name.
That operative with Yud K as well.
Yeah.
Nehemiah,
also,
Azariah.
Also, should have been a shame. Many tzaddikim were noeg throughout the generations. If you have a name that concludes with Yud-Hei, or Yeshayahu, or Yirmiyahu, which is even more, which is a Yud, Hei, and a Vav. So since already that's close, it's close to a Shem Kodesh independently, you just add one more letter, now you have the whole Shem Havaya. So with those who are machmir to write, like the Chazon Ish used to sign his letters Yud Shin. His name was Avram Yeshaya, so he used to sign Yud Shin Ayin Yud with an apostrophe, a smidgen, whatever. Because he was afraid of writing the hey and the vav. Some claim that's why we have the minig to call the name Yeshaya, not Yeshayahu. Very rarely you hear people called Yeshayahu.
But Kai is not one of the seven names of Sheinam Nichtavu.
But if you have a yud hey, you add another vav and then another hey, so you get close to a Shem Kodesh. And Ka is a shame of the Ribbono Shel Olam.
So it's a stringency with the Yud K more so than with the Aleph Lamed.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think that same chumrah is expressed in the people who write the Deash in Daniel and in Shmuel. Right. It's the same type of chumrah. So that same minig of tzaddikim, that they would write it by, you find sometimes in Svarim, you know, people are writing, they'll leave out the yud, and then the hey, that's not just to save time, it doesn't save time with this midrash, it's because you're afraid of writing even a little bit of a Shem Kodesh. And the Sefer Yosef Oimetz, which is the old Minhagim, it was Yosef Hahn, who lived in the 1600s, who recorded many of the Minhagim of the Frankfurt community, and Minhagim Ashkenaz, but he's just recording Minhagim that existed even before, says that's why we don't, for the number 15, we don't write Yud Hey, we write Tes Vav. Even though, if we would use it for the number 15, it's a Shem Chol, we have no, it's like Elohim Acherim, we have no intention for Kedusha. Nonetheless, there was an inyan not to write it. Or even 16, we write Tes Zayin, we don't write Yud Vav, because we don't want to begin a Shem Kodesh. In the Yosef Oimetz, he says that's why you'll sometimes see in older writings, the name Yehuda spelled with an Aleph. Why? Because they were afraid, you have the whole Shem Havai over there. If you just forget the Dawud, I don't know how you'd forget the Dawud, but if you happen to forget the Dawud, now you have a Shem Havai. Even so, it shouldn't be a problem, because you don't have a mind for the Shem Havai, you have a mind for the name of Yehuda. But since it was too close for comfort, so they...
have it over here.
With an Aleph. That goes back to the minute of the Yosef Oimetz.
Does it matter that when these names were given, they were deliberately given because of the Shem Hashem?
No, I don't think so. That's what I would have thought by Beit El. But we assume Beit El is one name. It's all one name. I heard a fantastic raya. I heard it from Rav David Kohnschlit in the name of Rav Blazer Silver. He brought a raya from Chumash because the pasuk says at the end of Parashas Matos that Machir ben Menashe had two children. He had Noivach and Yoyer. And he named two cities after each one of his children. So he named the city after Yoyer was Chavois Yoyer. And after Noivach, he named Vayikolo Noivach Bishmoy. So the pasuk concludes, when he names the city Noivach, it's Noivach Bishmoy. When it concludes that he named the town Chavois Yoyer after Yoyer, it doesn't say Bishmoy. So Blazer Silver said, because Chavois Yair is different than Yair. Yair is one name, Chavois Yair is a different name. Noivach, he called the town Noivach. Noivach, that's Bishmoy, that's in his name. But if you add a second name, the first name already becomes a separate shame. So Beit El also. What about other descriptions of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Like we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have Shiva Shem HaShem HaMchakim. If it's part of a Shem, larger Shem Chol, it's not a problem. What about other descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Rambam was quotes from the Gemara Masech Shavuos, at the same Gemara in Lamed Hamed Aleph. The Shara Kinuyim Shemeshavchim Ben Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gon Chanun Verachim HaGodol HaGibah VaNoira, or included in that would be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Ribbono Shel Olam, all of these things, Mutal Amarchkan. One is allowed to erase them. So any other description or name that refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's not one of these official names should not have been a concern erasing it. However, the Rama writes, "Vashem shekaisim b'sidurin beis yudin ve'echragaben." If they write two yuds, mutar lemaychay im hu letzayrech. You're allowed to erase it if you have a need. This is from the Tshuva of the Trumas Hadeshen, and the Shach writes, Mipiskei, which is the Trumas Hadeshen, Isa Litzarech Godo. Has to be a major need. What's the concern? This is not one of the Shiva Shema Sheinim Nimchakim. Why are we concerned with the Yud Yud? So the Trumas Hadeshen explains, it's perhaps an extrapolation from the Gemara, this is his own Chiddush, but he extrapolates it from a Gemara Masech Shavuos. The Gemara tells us in Masech Shavuos that if you write Aleph Lamed from the name Elohim, or the Yud K from the name of Havaya, Harezein Onimchok. You're not allowed to erase it because that's already the beginning of the shame. Two letters is the beginning of the shame. What about Shin Dalet from Shakai, or the Aleph Dalet? Me'adnus, or the Tzadi, Beis from Tzvakos? That's okay, that's not a problem. It's only a Yud K from the shame Havaya, or the Aleph Lamed from the name of Elohim. Why? Why those two only? So the Pashup Shat is because those two are Shemos independently. Aleph, then Lamed, is its own independent name. So it also begins Elohim, but you just wrote a Shem. So you can't be Nimchaket, or the Yud, and then a Hey. That's Ka, that you can't. That's an independent Shem. So even though you intend to write the whole Shem Havaya, you write Yud, and then a Hey, you'll have a problem, because it's an independent Shem. However, Tosis has a different gears on the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, that he held Aleph, Dalid, from the Shem of Adnus, also Eino Nimchak. So Tosis asks, why? That makes no sense. That's not our gears, so that was the gears of Rabbeinu Chananel. So he asks Tosis, why? Teva, my shnom, it's Sadi Beis of Tzvokoi, so the Shin Daud of Shakai. These are not independent, Aleph Daud is not an independent Shem. So says Tosis, Lefisha Ein Shem Bifnei Asma, V'Shem O Mishum, the Shem HaMiyuchad Hu, as we began, Zeh Zechri, Zeh Shmi Li Olam, Zeh Zechri Li Dor Dor, the Shem Havaya is different. And it's pronounced with the Shem Adnus, they're all the same Shem. So Shem HaMiyuchad Hu, Yesh LaHachmer Boyoy, so we have to be Machmer even more, even if you put two letters from that beginning of that Shem, even though it's not an independent Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Aleph Daud is not independently significant, but since you plan to write the Shem Adnus, and that is the primary name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to be careful even with two letters. So the Trumas Hadeshan makes not with a big jump from this. He says, well, maybe even one letter then. If you write the first letter of the Shem Havaya, Yud, of the Yud Kei Vav Kei, so the Trumas Hadeshan says, maybe that you can't erase either. Kevin Dezeh HaShem Yud Betchila, it begins with the Yud, so perhaps you have to be careful with erasing it. So therefore the Ramah quotes this Lamaisa that you're not allowed to erase the two Yuds in a Sefer with for no reason. It has to be, as the Shach said, Letzerech Godo. What about a middle letter now of the Shem Havaya? Is it only a Yud? What if I just write a Hey? So the Pisrei Tshuva over there quotes him a Sefer, B'nei Yoina, V'chein O'esim HaShem V'shekazim Sidurim Beis Yudin Oy Hey V'doy Me'en V'simin Sheshayach Shem HaShem. It's not only the Yud, but once we're going to jump to the Trumas Hadesh in the first letter of the Shem Havaya, so that's not such a far jump or argument to make, that even a middle letter of the Shem Havaya one should also not be allowed to erase. From this, you have the Chumrah of the Rugged Shavar he held, it was Meikar Adin, that if you have a Beis Hay on the top of a letter, you're not allowed to throw the Beis Hay into the garbage, because the Hay is already a reference to the Shem Havaya. Ramesh has a tshuva about it. Ramesh is a tshuva about it, and Ramesh says, well, it's funny, Ramesh says, no one's going to throw it out anyway. What are you talking about, no one's going to throw it out? People are going to throw out the letter. So Ramesh says, huh? Yeah, he says it's not a problem, not because there's not a problem, in theory, it's not a problem because no one's going to throw it out. And no one threw out Ramesh's letters. It's true. It's a good point. People throw out other letters. Huh?
Is there a difference between Mechika and just throwing away something?
You would have thought yes, because really it's going to a landfill somewhere. I mean, one
could.
Maybe. We'll get to the Grum at the end. But you're treating it with a minig bizayon, which is even worse than being Mechikit. I mean, you're putting it together with the banana peels, with the, other. So you're treating it. If you would just, you're right, take it and put it, in a place where it wasn't together with literally garbage, so then you might have an argument. But since you're putting it together with other garbage, it's a minig bizayon, which is almost worse than being marchiket. Others were not happy with the chumrah of the Rogachover. There's a Bavadi Yosef, and there's a tshuva from Rav Sternbach, quotes in the name of Briskerov. Many argued and they held that this is not a problem. You have the first Yud of the Shem Havaya, it's the beginning of Yud Kei Vav Kei. But the Hey, already that's too far. Many argue, and this is what Rav Moshe makes the argument. Rav Moshe says, well, if you write B'syata D'Shmaya, that's where it came from. Those are Machmir on this, right? Beis Samach Dalet. Because Rav Moshe said, then you don't have a problem. Because that's not the Hey, but if you write Be'ezos Hashem, so maybe it means Be'ezos Havaya. Others argue, you don't mean the Shem Havaya when you write Be'ez Hey. What do you mean? What do most people, if you would ask people, what do you mean Be'ezos Hashem, which itself is not one of the Shiva Shemos. So but those who were Machmir on it held the Hey as a reference to the Shem Havaya. One could argue that they mean Be'ezos Hashem. But either way, Rav Moshe says, if you avoid the whole thing, if you write Be'ezos Hashem, or Im Yirtzeh Hashem, or Be'ez HaMadad, B'siyata D'Shmaya, already you don't have a problem. The Aruch HaShulchan says, if you write a Dalin, so he says the Dalin is the same as the Hey from the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why? Because the Dalet is from the same Adnos. So that, well, I don't know why they're just going to pick like a Gimel. But
what's the origin of writing on a letter, a Pashut letter? You should write that anyway. Where did that come from? That you'd have to do something like that to write something on.
Well, because we want to refer to Ribbono Shel Olam.
Any kind of
and we don't want to have all of the implications that come with writing a shame. Shein Nimchok, so they wrote a hey.
But what did leave it out completely? Somebody writes a letter.
Baruch Ata blank in a siddur.
In a letter. No, I'm writing to you.
In a letter. That's what Masha says. I don't know what the whole Indian is to begin with.
Oh, that's what I'm asking.
So I think those who do it like we want the Ribbono Shel Olam to be constantly in our consciousness. So they wrote it on the letter. Others say it comes from Boaz. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos of Daf Nadalet, Boaz comes and he greets the Kaitrim with Hashem Imochem. You're supposed to greet people with the Shem Hashem. So therefore, when you greet people in a Michtov, in a letter, you should greet them with the Shem Hashem. Like Baruch Haba, you know.
So why don't you do that in your formal...
So that's why I only think it's a letter. If I'm writing notes, or I'm writing on a blackboard for students, right. There's no reason to write based on... I'm not writing a letter to people. I'm not greeting you, B'Shem Hashem. But if it's the Ribbono Shel Olam should always be in our consciousness, so then I understand that. Okay. But Ramesha says the whole Indian never has no source, there's no marker, so Ramesha says better not to get involved in the child, not to write it at all, brisk her up. They say in the name of the Gra, Reb Chaim Volozhiner never wrote it, so I don't write this on any of my letters. I don't recommend that you do, but I understand where those who are coming from that they do, and if you're going to do it, I wouldn't write with Beis Hey, you probably write Beis Samach Dalet. Okay, but let's say, you don't have one of the Shiva Shemas, Sheinim Nukhakim. Shemas refers to the Shemas of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You don't have one of the Shiva Shemas, and you don't have one of these first letters of the Shemas, Sheinim Nukhakim either. So the Rambam says, then you're not, you're clear of the Isa Midaraisa, but Midarabbanon, they extended this as well to Kol Kisvei HaKodesh. The Rambam writes in Perek Vav, we give him makas midrabanan. So if you destroy, certainly embarrass or treat not properly, kisvei hakodesh, which simply refers to, let's say, a Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther doesn't have the shame of the Ribbono Shel Olam in the entire thing. So what does that mean? You can throw it in the garbage, Chas V'Shalom, Midrabbanan, it's prohibited to do so, but so too any Kisvei HaKodesh. Where did this Halacha derive from? So it derives from the beginning of a parak called Kisvei HaKodesh, and Masechta Shabbos, that if you have a fire breaks out L'Eleinu on Shabbos, you're allowed to save the Kisvei HaKodesh on Shabbos, so they shouldn't be destroyed. So since you're allowed to save them on Shabbos, presumably we can derive from that it's an Isa to destroy them. It's true that Gemara says, though, that if you have, let's say, a brachis, that's not Kisvei HaKodesh. You can't save that on Shabbos. Or if you have a Sefer Torah that has less than 85 letters, that's one of the reasons that we have the Parsha in Parshas Baloitzcha, V'hibin Saya Ha'ara, and Uvnucha Yaymar is bracketed off by inverted nuns. That's a separate Sefer of 85 letters. If you have less than that, you can't save it on Shabbos. So the Trumas Hadesh, I'm sorry, the Tashbetz writes, even though that's the rule when it comes to Shabbos, to let it be destroyed by itself, but to destroy it beyond or even more machmir. Achash and Itzparis Ayeshu Lefarish Lavdavka Kisvei HaKodesh Hashleimim Elafilu Brochois Ukemein Vapaturois Vesifrei Agodois Umegilois, everything Shekaisel Tinaikos Islam Ben Kulan Asurul Na'avdim Biyad. You cannot destroy them.
Is that a cloth or just a
book? Beyond. If it's a cloth, it has to be put in a klicheris and buried in the ground. If it's not on a cloth, then it has to be...
No,
is
it Kisvei HaKodesh mean cloth or it means anything?
No, presumably anything. Presumably
anything. They only had cloth.
Well, cloth is only significant if it's one of the Sifrei Tanakh. Otherwise, what do I care? Everything they wrote was on cloth, but it doesn't acquire a unique status. The Shulchan Aruch also says in Hilchos Sefer Torah, also there comes psukim betalis. You're not allowed to write psukim on your talis because the talis meikar adin. We don't. It's not our minig. You can walk into a bathroom with the tzitzis on with the talis gadol. We don't do it with the talis gadol, but you could, in theory, walk in with the talis gadol. If you're gonna have a pasuk on it, you're gonna be bringing it into a place where it doesn't belong. So you see from the Shulchan Aruch as well that we're machmer even a pasuk, one pasuk, or brachos, or anything that was established, anshek nesa gedola, any type of Torah, one is not allowed to destroy midrabanan, and therefore would have to be put into shemos. So therefore, Rav Moshe writes, one should not write a pasuk on invitations, or on announcements, or on kokoreis. You should not write a pasuk, because these things are going to be thrown onto the ground, and no one's going to throw them into shemos. They're going to destroy it. So Rav Moshe says, it shouldn't be on invitations, shouldn't be in a place, just like the talis, where you're going to walk into a place of bizayon. It's not proper to write a pasuk. So Rav Moshe said, on these types of things, it's not right to correct to write a pasuk either. What constitutes a pasuk? So we find in other areas of halacha, with regards to halacha of sirtut, that three letters from a pasuk is called a three words from a pasuk is called a pasuk. Bereish is bara, even if it wouldn't be the shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, Elohim. So three letters, or three words from a pasuk is a pasuk, and have the status of the kedusha of the pasuk. But if it's less than that, if it's two words, then not. Or the Shulchan Aruch says, if you write it in a melitza. I don't mean the pasuk. I write two letters, you know, Baruch Haba. I'm not referencing the pasuk, Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem. I'm just, you know, welcoming you. If you meet it as a melitza, I'm just being poetic and using the language of the Chumash, then it would be allowed.
So when somebody writes in an invitation or in a letter reading, like, I don't know, Parshas Reina,
yeah, they mean it as to be poetic.
What?
It wouldn't have the status of, if you mean to reference the pasuk, then yes. I mean, if you're trying to show off to me, you know Tanakh, then yes. If you're just trying to be poetic in your language, they're not. The Pesachei Tshuva, though, adds, this is only because we assume in two words, you can't figure out the pasuk. But if it's v'halachta b'drachov, or if it's, v'shinantam levonecha, these are clear references to the pasuk, so then perhaps we should even be machmer if it's two words. Yeah.
What about an audio tape?
Yeah, the tapes, it was... No one has tapes anymore. That's why the whole there's a whole literature about tapes and microfilm.
No, but digital recordings.
Digital recordings, we assume, are not a shame HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shame Kodesh. You mean it now it's a file? That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
The kids don't even know what a CD is anymore.
Or a digital.
A file. You have a file with a shame Hashem. So, or on a computer screen, we assume in Hilchos Shabbos and Kol Torah Kula, writing on a computer screen is not kosef. So to erase it would not be mechika. Yeah, some felt it's not right when it, with the tapes discussion, they quoted the name of Rabbi Yaakov, that they should be a little bit more careful with the tapes, but there you had a chefta with the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on it. It's hard to call mechika. But nowadays on a computer, it's either it's there, the oil and void, it's not, and even if to delete it, it's not, you know, put it in the trash can, it's not mechika.
Same kind of question was
erase it, I need to erase it.
Yeah, delete it, yeah.
When the printed press started.
Right.
Printing
presses, we assume it's all Kaidish. Yeah.
It was a whole discussion.
A big discussion, Kol Torah Kula.
Maybe you need to call me the Gabo and Kavona, you need that
yes,
to describe.
Yes. But Blamaisa, we all assume that's why I didn't bring it up either.
My son Ellie was talking about it.
Yeah.
The guy that we had working with him was a very early fellow. When he made some tapes for him, he modified the Shem El Hashem so it shouldn't have to be erased.
A tape with magnetic film?
Digital,
that's a big chumrah. A big chumrah. So therefore, in a wedding invitation, some have a hakpada. Really, it should have been three words. Some have a hakpada not to write even kol sasan and kol simcha, but that seems to be a stretch. Because what you really mean is to bless the chasan and the kala, kol sasan and kol simcha, but nonetheless, three words of a pasuk. There were those who are machmer not to write three words of a pasuk, so they would break it up. If you write kol sasan over here, kol simcha over here, kol chasan over here, kol kala over here.
That's what they do.
Yeah, of course. So you should be able to throw the invitation.
Yes.
That's why they do it. So they shouldn't acquire this the shame kol. If you see it written in a circle, kol satan, kol simcha, in a circle, also not. If you change the pasuk, it also is not an issue. If you write nale al roish simcha seinu, all of these types of
graphic.
If it changes it changes the pasuk from any way, either you write part of it over here or part over here, then it does not acquire the shame or the shame kodesh. The Ramah adds on, not only kitzvei ha-kodesh, not only psukim, but the Ramah adds perhaps anything that's written b'ksav ashuris. The Ramah writes, yesh'oim de'ein lichto dvarim shalchol b'ksav ashuris. Ksav ashuris is the ksav that we use for a sefer Torah. Shekaisim boi ha-Torah, because the script itself has a certain measure of kedusha. And the Pesachei Tshuva extends this to even printed items. At the show, the Ramah says you shouldn't write a newspaper then in Ksav Ashuris. You shouldn't write Divrei Chol in Ksav Ashuris. But the Pesachei Tshuva extends it, if you have something that was written in Ksav Ashuris, they print newspapers without asking Shilas in Ksav Ashuris. Now, do I have to treat it with Kedusha? So the Pesachei Tshuva says yes. You're not allowed to throw it in a makom of bizayon or to bring it into a bathroom, let's say. You're not allowed, even though it's Divrei Chol, but it's written in Ksav Ashuris. One is not supposed to necessarily bring it into treat it b'makom bizayon. And the Gilyon Marsha on the side of this Ramah, I'm sorry, I didn't give it to you, writes any block script, any block print has the status of ksav ashuris, even though there's no tagim and it's not, wouldn't be kosher necessarily. but it's a block print. You have to be machmir that far. That's why on invitations you find sometimes people are machmir to write the invitation in Ksav Rashi or in a real script, so it shouldn't be a block print for this Indian of the Ramah. Rav Moshe argues, and the Rebbe Avadi Yosef argues, that our block print is not the Ksav Ashuris. Ksav Ashuris is the Ksav that was used for the Sefer Torah. I don't know if it has to have the Tagim, but it's not our script. And therefore you don't have to write Ksav Rashi. Many held invitations are not a Davar Chol. Invitations to a wedding is a Davar Kodesh. But either way, if that's the case, then you'd have to put in Shemus. Rav Moshe held our script is not Ksav Ashur, so Moshe said you could bring the Israeli newspapers. If you can read them, you can read them. You can read them in the bathroom. What? Yeah, but you don't throw those out. And that's not a Davar Chol. That's a Davar Kodesh. Get married. So, but what about, final thing we'll deal with, what about, the explosion of paper documents that we have with Divrei Torah on it? So we said not only the Shiva Shemas, but all Divrei Torah, perhaps even Ksav Ashuris, have the status of Davar Kodesh and need to be treated properly, have to be put into Geniza, cannot be treated with a manner of Bizoyon. So what about then the Parsha sheets and the sheets that kids come home with, my Mar Mekaymus? If it's just a list of Mar Mekaymus, Rambam here, that's not a Kodesh at all. But here we have little snippets. My Mar Mekaymus, or the newspaper, which all have Divrei Torah in it. So what is the status of those? So the Paiskim quote from a tshuva from Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. Gedolei Hador from the previous generation writes, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, based on a comment of the Rambam. Look back at the Rambam in Ois Yud Gimel. The Rambam says, if you have a Sefer Torah, Shekazva Apikaris. The Apikaris writes the Sefer Torah, you're supposed to burn it. Im Haskaris Shaboy, with the Shemos that are in it. Why? The end of the second line. Ain't no mom in Bekdushas Hashem. He doesn't believe in what he's writing. You know that this is in any way holy. The Koloi Kosvul Lishmoi. They didn't write in the name. Of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shumala Bedaitus Zeh Kesharat Devarim. It's like everything else. V'hoil V'data Kain Loynis Kadosh Hashem. It does not take on a status of holiness. So too the Rambam writes. I give it here. Ois Chav Haluchos Shekaisin Behem Latinot Lislamed Ain Bohen Kedusha. If you write things just for the children to read and then they're going to discard it, it's not meant to have any permanence. It's just for the children to read. So then the Rambam says it does not acquire the status of Kedusha. So we mentioned the Shem Cho. If my name is Daniel, I write the Aleph and the Lamed, not because it's Shem Kodesh, because I intend to write my name. So that doesn't acquire the status of Kedusha. So too, writes of Yitzchak Elchanan, Amadnu min divrei haramam desvirei b'ksav shaloi l'shem Kedusha, d'loi niskad shu umuta l'zarkon. You're allowed to throw it out. Since you don't have in mind that it should have the status of Kedusha. V'oi l'amadnu d'afikis say ha-kodesh d'nesem id'rabonon. If you write it without a shame, having in mind the status of Kedusha, l'chal aleihem kisvei ha-kodesh l'oitzon l'abdon l'tzarfon. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan was discussing the galleys of a sefer. If they give you galleys, and then before they end up printing the Sefer, what can you do with all these galleys? So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan said they were never intended to be in any way permanent, therefore you could throw them out. So too many places say you don't even have to say it. It's already implicit. When you print these things out, people know that they're not going to be treated properly, and therefore we know that it's not for any sense of permanence, they're going to be thrown out, and therefore it does not acquire the status of Kedusha. Or Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan says you have on the, if anybody remembers what a blackboard was, or you have a whiteboard, so they're going to write write Torah, write Shame. So what do you do with the blackboard? Some say you have to rip the blackboard out and throw out the blackboard. The Paiskim said like that. But Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan says no! Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan says because your intention is for it to be temporary. You intend to take it and then erase it. So it's not a problem.
Is it subjective to the das of the person who wrote it? Or did das kaladam?
I think anybody who thinks otherwise is bakla dietes of das kovanidam. If I have a naive teacher who thinks that I'm going to save their parsha sheets, oh my void, and bury them with, that's ridiculous. They're unaware. So I think the bakla dietes of das kovanidam. Any sheets the children come home with, these sheets, any type of thing like that that's clearly meant for a temporary thing, or if I write notes, and I know I regularly throw out my notes anymore, because no one keeps papers anymore, everything's files. So I throw, if I know I'm writing notes and I plan to keep them 50 years, that's colored. I think also. Uh-huh. Also.
Really?
Yes. The Rambam said a Sefer Torah that's written by without the shame of intention for Kedusha.
She's got every shame up on top.
I didn't. I tried to change them. Oh, one of them.
So why is there shadow by people's names?
This no one's
no
writing.
No one's writing, right?
They're not written out.
Yeah, it was a Qumran. Listen, if you want to bury all of your parsha, she's gezindah, but Meikra Adin, Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan says not. The same thing they quote from Sternbach and Dayan Weiss that the newspapers that have the Divrei Torah in it can be thrown out. At the same time, Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan questions. He says it was used for a mitzvah, should be no worse than any other tashmishay mitzvah. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah that tashmishay mitzvah la'achar zman mitzvahs are nizrak, and you can throw them out, as opposed to tashmishay kedusha, like a sefer Torah, like a mantle of a sefer Torah, like a mezuzah that has to be buried. What a tashmishay mitzvah! Anything that's used for a mitzvah, and then you're done. A sukkah, a lulav, a shayfer, tzitzis. You can really throw it out when you're done with it. Nonetheless, the Rama says, last thing, Oishav Gimel, that Chutei Tzitzis, the Shulchan Aruch says, after they're ripped off, you can throw them in the garbage. The Rama says, on the second line, in the parentheses, Yesh Aymrim, the Afla Achash Anifsiku, Ein Linhoik Bohen Minig Bizayin Lizarkam Bimankam Maguna. You shouldn't take it and throw it in the garbage can on top of the banana peel. That's not right. You don't eat Geniza, but you should be careful not to put it in Makam of Bizayin. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan says,
what are we talking about?
Any tashmishay mitzvah.
Or these notes.
So Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan says these notes should be no worse than tzitzis, than a lulav, than a sukkah. It's not tashmishay kedusha. I didn't have in mind that it should be endowed like a mezuzah, like a sefer Torah, with kedushas Hashem. But it should be no worse than anything I used for a mitzvah, even a one-time thing, a lulav.
Is it worse? Should we say it should be no better than, but is it worse than? Meaning, does it have any level of kedusha? A newspaper, a Jewish newspaper. So, okay, you can't read the Torah part in the bathroom, but can you take it to the bathroom to read the non-Torah?
So the people, the Paiskim say like this. I'll tell you, I'll get to one second. So one second. So you have to, I'll get to what you're thinking one second. So the Paiskim say, Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan says they should really be put in a separate bag, and that's what I do with the parashit. I put a separate bag, and they say it's better to leave, they quote from Chaim Moshe, better to leave it on the curb, or put it in the, wherever you put your garbage. I let the guy take it. It's kind of a groma type thing. I'm not doing it beyond. I put it in a separate bag. Or if you want to put it in your garbage bag too, it's in a separate bag, then you put it in your garbage bag. You can throw it out like that. It should be allowed. You want to put it on the street and let the guy take it as an extra type thing. I'm not sure though. I think that's by one parasha sheets. I'm not sure by the newspapers you have to do this. Why? Because the police can say, can I bring, Shiloh, you know, they always say this, Shiloh, not can you read the Jewish press, out of the bathroom, you know. Can you read the Jewish press in the bathroom? The Shabbos, can you read it out of the bathroom? But either way, can you take the... that joke is so old, it's about the Jewish press. You know, they still print the Jewish press. Anyway, but can you bring it into the bathroom if there's Divrei Torah on every other page? So they quote in the name of Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Scheinberg that if there's two pages in between the page that has the Torah on it, clearly you cannot read the Divrei Torah. But if it's covered over by two pages, it should be no different than a sitter that I have in my pocket in a double covering that you can bring into a bathroom. So if I have a newspaper with two pages over the... So they say this is crazy, it's like a minefield, you know. But if you know where the Divrei Torah is, then you can bring it to the bathroom as long as it's covered over by two pages. I'm not such a fan of the, you know, doing that, but I think what their heter serves to allow us to do is to take the whatever Jewish paper you like, take it and put it into the garbage azoy. Why? You don't need even a bag. Why? Because the Jewish newspaper, whatever Divrei Torah is there, it's covered over by two pages of the newspaper, which are the first two pages are never Divrei Torah. Right, it's always the ads. So if you... it's the expensive pages. So to put it into the garbage, I think the Jewish newspaper you can put directly into the garbage, but the other thing should be put into a bag and then put into the garbage. If you're going to put your Jewish newspaper, I promise, the last thing, if you're going to put your Jewish newspaper into the garbage, so some Paiskim say you should really take out the Divrei Chol. You can't put, you're putting with Divrei Kedusha, I'm going to put the advertisements into the Shemus. The same way Paiskim make a comparison, we have a separate Batei Beis Olam for Yin, a separate Beis Olam for Nachrim. We have to separate between the Tashmishei Mitzvah, Tashmishei Kedusha. You can't take things that don't belong in Shemus and put them into Shemus. So why not just take all of our garbage? It's like everything that we have, put it into Shemus, no Shilas. That's wrong, because you're diluting Shemus is supposed to be for those things that require Geniza, not for things that don't require Geniza. So some hold like this, that if you're going to put your Jewish newspaper into the Shemus, you have to be machmer to cut out the Divrei Torah, put the Divrei Torah in, and cut out the advertisements, because they don't belong in the Gniza. They quote, I heard a letter from Chaim Kanievsky that he held the whole thing as one Cheftza, and you don't have to cut out the Divrei Chol, but many Paisim, particularly in America, are into that Chumah. So you have to be careful what you put in Shemus. You should really only put things that belong there. Also, it's very expensive, Shemus. So you should really only put things that belong there, and therefore it's important to be familiar with these halachas. Okay.
I bet you go to a bar mitzvah, you know, when they print out parsha. They print out the parsha.
Say Tanis.
That's Shemus, right?